And it's another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is possibly, I haven't completely decided, it may be the last show of the, 2019 for me. I'm probably not going to be, let's see, on air next week. Next week is Christmas, right? And then the next week is New Year's. Well, I'm filling in for Bob Bell on the 31st. So New Year's Eve, I will be joining Jason Hayes, my good friend, who we host a show together on Wednesdays called Between Sundays. And so we're going to be filling in for Bob Bell on New Year's Eve at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm not real sure. Anytime Bob asks me to fill in, we tend to say yes. And then I realize, oh, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. And I have four kids and it's dumb. It's dumb that I say yes, but I say yes. And so we'll be, taking you to work in the, I don't know what we'll be doing. We'll be doing that. The morning show, the Bob Bell show. Jason and I will be doing that, December 31st. So we'll be bringing in the New Year's for you. But this week we're going to talk a little bit about Christmas. We're going to talk about, some news out of California, which, typically, news out of California is not good news, but that's where we're going to be for a part of the show. We'll also look at kind of 2019, what that means for Hope, and your partnerships have just been amazing, and you've blown us away this year. One of the best years yet at Hope Resource Center. And then we'll look at, maybe we'll talk some Christmas traditions, some Christmas music. You'll probably hear some Christmas music during this hour, as well as I'll tell you my favorite Christmas songs. And if you disagree with them, then you have every right to be wrong. And so that's up to you. But first, let's start with a story out of California. I'm going to read an article to you from the National Review, great publication that I would highly recommend to you. But Planned Parenthood to open sexual health centers at 50 Los Angeles high schools. And so the article says this: Planned Parenthood announced Wednesday that it'll move forward with a plan to open new sexual and reproductive health centers at 50 Los Angeles County high schools. Over the next 3 years, the nation's largest abortion provider will launch dozens of school health centers serving a total of 75,000 teenage students in the county, funded by a $10 million grant from the Los Angeles County and another $6 million from Planned Parenthood. That's a lot of money. $16 million total, $10 million from the taxpayers. And then one could argue that the $6 million that's coming from Planned Parenthood is also from the taxpayers, considering we give them $500 million every single year. But I digress. So we'll continue the article. The, quote, well-being centers is what they're calling them, at least five of which have already opened, will not provide surgical abortions, but will offer emergency contraception, STI testing and treatment, birth control options, mental health support, and pregnancy counseling. Now wonder what their pregnancy counseling is. These centers, they say, will not provide abortions, but they will provide pregnancy counseling. So it'll be interesting to see. They may not provide abortions in these health centers, but how many referrals to the abortion clinic are they going to provide there in LA County? Of course, they won't have the answer for you. Another question that comes up with that is, why not provide abortions? Why not? If abortion isn't that bad, and if abortion doesn't have any lasting ramifications, and if abortion doesn't discriminate based on age, and everyone who is sexually active needs to have the right to an abortion, why won't these centers provide abortion? It seems like they're talking out of both sides of their mouth, right? Well, they're not going to provide abortion because I think they know what type of backlash they would receive, even there in LA County. But who knows? I would argue that they're not going to provide abortion right now, but give it a year, give it 2 years, give it 3 years, and see if these schools are becoming abortion clinics themselves. I would also wonder, and I think it's important that we track this, how many abortion referrals are coming out of these health centers that are inside the school. And so they're going to call them well-being centers. School officials, listen to this, will not have access to the clinic's medical records on students. California law allows minors 13 and older to receive birth control without parental consent. That seems like a dumb law, but that's the law there in California. 13 and older, you can receive birth control without parental consent. And then the article says, quote, I do anticipate that this, as this becomes public, we will have very normal and healthy debate around sexuality and schools and what it is to be engaged in family communication around a healthy adolescence, said Planned Parenthood Los Angeles President Sue Dunlap. Pro-life advocates slam the project, of course, saying it is simply a way for Planned Parenthood to promote and sell abortions to vulnerable teenagers. Planned Parenthood has been targeting younger and younger girls through their version of sex education beginning as early as elementary school, which encourages people to make bad choices, partly because Planned Parenthood profits from crisis and from selling abortions to those same students. This is a quote from Kristen Hawkins, who is the Students for Life president. And then they go further. This is a marketing ploy by the nation's number one abortion vendor, Hawkins added. There is a conflict of interest in allowing Planned Parenthood into schools in any form to market their deadly business, knowing that they will make millions from the students who won't know until it's too late that Planned Parenthood does not care about women. They care about money. California in October also became the first state to mandate that public colleges offer students abortion medication. So California just making a lot of great decisions over there. So the legislature, local and state there in California, the county commissions, the city council, the state legislature has created an atmosphere in the state of California that not only is okay with abortion, but it promotes abortion. They're doing it inside of the county schools, the public schools. They're doing it with your taxpayer dollars. They're doing it by saying that public universities have to not only be okay with abortion, but they have to provide it. They have to be able to provide a pill there on the public campus. Again, taxpayer dollars. If you'll remember, a couple years ago, California was the place that targeted pregnancy centers, trying to close pregnancy centers. Again, it's not okay to just simply tolerate abortion. You have to accept it, you have to promote it, and you have to stand with abortion. And so they wanted pregnancy centers to refer out for abortion. They wanted pregnancy centers to post in their lobby where people could go get a free abortion in the state of California, because guess what? In the state of California, tax dollars pay for abortion. So you can get a free abortion, and I put free in quotes because free means taxpayer dollars. And now, if your kid goes to school, if you're paying property tax in the state of California, your taxes are going to allow for Planned Parenthood inside of the public school in 50 schools in LA County. Think about that. That's where we are as a society. That's where California is as a state. That's where LA County is as a county. You have the local leaders making decisions that, in my estimation, is damning for the students. Now, what type of pregnancy counseling are they getting? Just like I asked earlier, what type of pregnancy counseling are they getting? What if a 15-year-old comes in and says, look, this isn't the ideal situation, but I want to keep my baby? What type of pregnancy counseling is that 15-year-old going to receive? What type of pregnancy counseling is occurring without the knowledge of parents? What type of things will be covered up? What type of abuse will be covered up? As we've seen, Planned Parenthood has a record of hiding and at the very least skirting some reporting laws. And so what's going to be covered up there in California inside the public school system? And so as you think about school choice, and I know that for, if you're listening to this and you're local and you're in Tennessee, you're going, what's this got to do with us? Look, this is the beginning of something. Planned Parenthood rightly, in their estimation, strategically started in California. It makes complete sense. And what we'll probably see is they'll call this a success after about a year. And then we'll see more centers open up in the school system in places like Portland, Oregon, in places like New York City, in your far left leaning states, your blue states, and the cities across this country, you're going to see places like this open within the school system. So we bring it up because it's not crazy to think that within our state, there may be a far left leaning city within our state that says, sure, you can come into the school system. Because what they're going to argue, even in a state like Tennessee, they're going to argue, well, you don't understand. We're not providing abortion. That's what they're going to say. We just want to provide counseling and education and medical services, but not abortion. And my response to that would be, but your organization is the number one abortion mill in this country. A third of abortions happen inside the walls of a Planned Parenthood. That's just the truth of the matter. And so if we're giving them funds to open up centers within the schools, guess what those funds are doing? They're allowing them to do more abortions. That's how budgets work. If somebody wrote you a check today for $100,000 and said it cannot go to your mortgage, would it not free up some of your other money to pay your mortgage? Of course it would. And the whole time you could say, look, it's not going toward my mortgage, just like you told me. But we know how budgets work. And so when we keep giving them money, we're allowing them more access and more abilities to get into schools, to provide more abortions. And they're going into these schools and saying, hey, we're just going to do pregnancy counseling. But how many of those counseling sessions are going to tell that young lady, you need to go right down the road to our abortion clinic and get this taken care of so you can focus on you? That's how a lot of the counseling will go. So we're going to keep an eye on it. We're going to continue to talk about it. Continue to watch what's going on in California. See where else it'll go in the state, in the states. And I would argue, I'd be willing to bet that places like Portland, Chicago, New York City, other places around the country are going to quickly fall in line. This is just the beginning of a greater plan of getting into the school system, which is an even more reason why you need to really think about school choice and what that looks like for your child and where you're going to have them, even when they get to college and college campuses. We'll talk more when we come back. Conversation continues. I know we started with a heavy topic and I said we were going to get into some Christmas stuff, but I had to start there because I think it's important that you are aware of what's going on around this country. Now what I want to do is one of the greatest transitions in radio is to go from a super heavy topic into something that matters at nothing at all. And so what we're going to do is look at the top Christmas gifts. And you know, I could go way back. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to go back to 1999 and come all the way up to 2019, the best, most popular Christmas gifts since that time. And so 1999, which is interesting to me because my son is really into this particular item in 2019, but in 1999, it was Pokemon cards. Pokemon cards were the thing in 1999, apparently. A lot of people were buying it for their kids, and man, that's quite the run because my kid still has it. In the year 2000, how many of you bought this for your child, Razor scooter? Again, we have scooters at my house, but the Razor scooter in the year 2000 was the thing to buy, and it was a hard get, and a lot of people got that. So 2001, we have Bratz, which apparently is a doll. Chloe, Jada, Sasha, and Yasmin, they're the original quartet of 10-inch teenagers distinguished by large heads and skinny bodies. They were just dolls that people were into. That was 2001. And then let's see, 2002, 2003. This was the year I graduated high school. It was in 2002. And it's called Beyblades. I don't even know what that is. In a classic demonstration of the power of synergy, Hasbro released these customizable fighting spin tops in Japan simultaneously with a hit cartoon. World domination followed soon thereafter. I would argue it wasn't world domination because I've never heard of them or seen them, but 2002 was Beyblades. 2004, You had Robo Sapiens. Again, not something that I'm familiar with, but it was a remote control 14-inch tall humanoid capable of performing 67 pre-programmed actions and movements. And speaking of, I mean, in our house, we just bought a Roomba, which is like a robot vacuum cleaner. And I've scheduled it to start sweeping the house at 11 o'clock in the evening every night. Because at 11 o'clock, typically everybody's to bed. Well, last night, apparently it got stuck. And so I got a bunch of notifications on my phone. This is how futuristic we are in the Wood family. So my phone is letting me know that the Roomba is stuck. And then I removed it and put it somewhere else. And then I get a notification after I leave work, and it says the Roomba is on the edge of a cliff and is in need of help. I have no cliffs in my house, but the Roomba apparently felt like a home that has four children, three adults, because my mother-in-law lives with us, so three adults, three dogs, two cats, and a pig, was too much to handle, and so the Roomba was just on the edge of the cliff ready to end it all. But we were able to save it, her, him, whatever it is, and it'll go back to cleaning tonight like it's supposed to, and I'm sure I'll get more notifications. 2005, we have the Xbox 360. Now I do remember that. Never had one, but they look cool and they look awful fun. 2006, PlayStation 3. So it's funny, if you go way back, but even back to 1999, toys were the most popular item. You get to 2005 and you begin the laziness of children. And so then now we have the laziness and so, hey, we just want video games. So 2005, Xbox 360, 2006, PlayStation 3, 2007, we get even lazier with the iPod Touch, and then, we keep moving. 2008, hey, it's back to toys, Elmo Live, and then 2009, we get the Nook e-reader, Barnes & Noble, and so that was a big deal for a little while. 2010, Apple said, yeah, we're gonna beat the e-reader and we're gonna come out with an iPad. iPad was a big hit. 2011, Elmo back on the charts. Let's rock, Elmo. And then 2012, Wii U, which is another game system. 2013, man, Elmo is killing it. Big hugs, Elmo. We have one of those at the house. 2014, Frozen came out of nowhere, and that was a big deal. The Snow Glow Elsa doll, and with her snowman friend. In 2015, Superhero BB-8 toy, which is from Star Wars. Never watched it. 2016, the Nintendo Classic. So it nostalgia was important. So in 2016, my generation was like, yeah, man, if we could just go back to the days of the old Nintendo. And so then we paid a lot of money for an old Nintendo. And then 2017, you had Cosmo, which is some kind of little robot named Cosmo. I don't know. Looks dumb. And then 2018, we bought one for our child. Fingerlings. Fingerlings were dumb toys that wrap around your finger and do nothing at all. That was 2018. So it'll be interesting to see what the gift is in 2019. And when I look back at all of that, and as a dad, I'm like, oh, I would never buy that dumb toy for my child. Yeah, I did. I bought a lot of those and still have this year already bought some of those. And so it's interesting what we do at Christmas time and what it makes us do, and also the mob mentality. Any other time you're like, well, I don't need Elmo. I don't need an Elmo doll. My kid doesn't need an Elmo doll. But it appears as if all the families on our street and all the families at our church are buying this Elmo doll. So we need to also buy this Elmo doll. And you know, that's just how we operate. It's how our mind operates. And so, but that's okay. There's nothing wrong with getting gifts for Christmas. I would encourage you to do that. I would also encourage you to, have experiences, you know, go to Dollywood, go experience that with your family. Go to, you know, somebody was asking me the other day, or we were watching something, I think, with the family, and somebody was taking a trip to Hawaii for Christmas. And so they're going to spend Christmas in Hawaii, which sounds miserable to me. And you may be thinking that's crazy, but the last place I want to be when it's Christmas is somewhere where it's warm. I want it to be cold. I want it to snow. I want all of that at Christmas time. I don't want the beach. And to be completely honest, as a redhead, I don't ever want the beach, ever. I don't ever want to go to the beach. I don't want to ever sit on the beach. I don't want to sit in the sand. I have no desire to do that. My wife, on the other hand, is the opposite and loves the beach and loves the sand. And so we've tried to figure out a way where my son and I can go on a vacation to, like, the mountains, and my wife and the girls go to the beach, because my son and I have no desire to do the beach. But we're not going to do that because all of those things are expensive, and, yeah, we're just not going to spend the money on that. But I hope that you look back at that list. First off, I hope that some of these items you still have, because some of them may be worth something. I was watching Home Alone 2 the other day, and Kevin McAllister is using a Talk Boy. And so, genius marketing move by the folks that created Talk Boy, that said, hey, we're going to put this in Home Alone 2. And guess who had a Talk Boy? I did. And it should still be at my dad's. I don't know if it is, but it should still be there. And so hopefully you held on to those things, and so you can relive those days. I went actually today and bought a Red Ryder BB gun. And my dad doesn't listen to the show. My dad, who is a grown man, every year calls at Christmas, and he has a list still. And I'll say, Daddy, you're a grown man, and you shouldn't make a Christmas list. I don't need anything. You don't need anything. And he says, well, regardless, here's what I want. And so what my dad wants this year is the 80th edition of the Red Ryder BB gun, the 80th anniversary edition of the Red Ryder BB gun. And so I don't know why a 60-plus-year-old man wants a Red Ryder BB gun when my dad has a lot of real guns. But guess what I went and bought today? I went and bought a Red Ryder 80th edition anniversary BB gun. Not for my child. I think the people at the store probably assumed I was buying it for my 8-year-old. But the reality is I was buying it for a 60-plus-year-old man that's my dad. And that's what he asked for. And so that's what he's going to get. And so the Red Ryder BB gun, and it's funny, at the store as I was walking out, because you can't really put that in a bag, I was walking out, had to show the receipt to the person at the door, and this was a clever person. They should get a promotion. Looked at me and said, don't shoot your eye out, which is exactly what they say in the Christmas story. And so excited to watch my dad open that on Christmas morning or somewhere thereabouts and see his 80th anniversary of the Red Ryder BB gun. I have a Red Ryder BB gun. I would encourage you to have a Red Ryder BB gun. Get one for your children. It's a great tool. It's also just fun. It's fun to go out and not very powerful, not going to do much damage, but we tend to shoot at pieces of cardboard at the Wood family, and so that's what we do to get the kids practicing. So Red Ryder BB gun, there's so many things that you can look to. I would encourage you, though, look for those vintage items. And maybe that list was like, man, I believe we bought a Tickle Me Elmo one day. Let's go back and look for it. Or there's Pokemon cards or something like that that's back there, way back, and you can go down memory lane. I would encourage you to do that. Christmas is a great opportunity for that. Christmas, the best time of the year. We'll continue the Christmas talk when we come back. So as we continue the conversation, we're going to continue talking about Christmas. Christmas is next week. If you're listening to this live, Christmas is next week. It's going to be Tennessee Christmas. And so it's interesting to me. I just pulled up a list of the top 40 Christmas songs by somebody. I'm not sure who put them together. Some of them I would agree with. Some of them I would definitely not agree with. So we're going to run through this list. We're going to play you some snippets of some of the songs just to give you an idea. Hopefully you already have a Christmas playlist together. I've been listening since probably before Halloween, and my playlist consists of Harry Connick Jr., Michael Bublé, Alabama, Dolly and Kenny, just so many, a lot of country artists especially, but a lot of folks. And so I hope you already have a list together, but we're going to start with number 40 on this list is The Christmas Song by Nat King Cole. So the Christmas Song by Nat King Cole is a good one. And, you know, the interesting thing, the other day I was listening and this song came on and there was a duet sang by Nat King Cole and his daughter, Natalie Cole, which was an incredible arrangement and an incredible song. You know the song, Chestnuts Roasting. It's an amazing song. I believe it was Perry Cuomo who wrote the song. When he was like 19 or 20 years old, which is insane to me. This is a song that has stood the test of time, still plays today in the homes of many, in a lot of radios. And so that's a great one, a song by Nat King Cole.
And folks dressed up like Eskimos.
I mean, listen to that voice.
Everybody knows.
Good.
A turkey and some mistletoe.
This is one of the ones where you sing and you think and assume that you sound just like him. The reality is you sound nothing like him. And he's the man and very, very good. That's number 40. Number 39, Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney. We're not going to listen to that one because it's a terrible one. Number 38, Run, Run, Rudolph by Chuck Berry. That's a good one. 37, you have The Christmas by... Or This Christmas by Donny Hathaway. 36, My Only Wish This Year, by the great, amazing composer, writer, singer, Britney Spears. And then number 35, you have Santa Tell Me by Ariana Grande, which I think is a farce. There's no way she should be on the list. Number 34, though, 34 is Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays by NSYNC. And I will tell you, look, I came up, this is so good. NSYNC was, look, a lot of the girls loved them some NSYNC, Justin Timberlake, the whole crew. A lot of dudes did too. Big fan of NSYNC. This is a great Christmas album. This is one of the best. This is number 34 on the list. And we just may sit there for a little while. So when you hear a song by Justin Timberlake and you're like, man, where did he get his start? Well, he got his start at Mickey Mouse Club. I know a lot more about Justin Timberlake than I need to know. He was also in Star Search back in the day, and going back and forth with Backstreet Boys and 98 Degrees, all of the boy bands back in the day. But Justin Timberlake came out of that. But that's a great Christmas song. Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays by Justin Timberlake, or by NSYNC, really Justin Timberlake. Number 33, Underneath the Tree by one Kelly Clarkson, American Idol winner. The Judge, she's kind of a big deal. Number 32, My Favorite Things by Julie Andrews. That's a great song. 31, The Chipmunk Song, Christmas Don't Be Late. That's always a good one to add. The kids love that one. Number 30, Silver Bells by She and Him. I don't even know who that is. Number 29, Up on the Housetop by Jackson 5. Number 28, Fairy Tale of New York. I don't know that one. 27, one of the great crooners of all time, The Christmas Waltz by Frank Sinatra. And then you have 26, When My Heart Finds Christmas by Harry Connick Jr. Great album as well. Really, really good Christmas album. Would encourage you to get that. Number 25, you have John Denver and the Muppets, The 12 Days of Christmas. Number 24, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Interestingly enough, my grandma hated that song. And so that's by Elmo and Patsy, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Number 23, Mele Kalikimaka by Bing Crosby. That was made famous, of course, later on by Christmas Vacation. Number 21, Do They Know It's Christmas? By Band Aid. That song gets me because, of course, they knew it was Christmas. Number 20. Here's 21. This is the Do They Know It's Christmas? Not my favorite, but I think they were trying to push an agenda, push a narrative. But yeah, they did know it was Christmas. Everybody knows it's Christmas around the world, whether you're a believer or not. But that one gets played all the time. If you listen to Delilah around Christmas time, you're going to hear that song. Number 20, we have Merry Christmas, Darling by The Carpenters, one of the greatest voices of all time, Karen Carpenter. Merry Christmas, darling. The Carpenters had an amazing Christmas album. The arrangements they did with the songs were just on another level. So if you haven't added the Carpenters to your Christmas list, your playlist, I would strongly encourage you to do that. Just amazing, amazing. And she was gone too soon, Karen Carpenter, but a great, great album. Great song, Merry Christmas, Darling by the Carpenters. Number 19, Please Come Home for Christmas by the Eagles. That's an amazing one as well. Number 18, of course, You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch. Everybody knows that one and enjoys that one. 17, There's No Place Like Home for the Holidays by Perry Como. 16, Merry Christmas, I Don't Want to Fight by the Ramones. I don't know that one. Number 15, Candy Cane Lane by Sia. I don't know why she's on this list. Number 14, What Christmas Means to Me by one Stevie Wonder. Number 13, I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day by Wizard, Don't We All? Number 12, Step Into Christmas by Elton John. Number 11, We Need a Little Christmas by Angela Lansbury. Number 10, interesting, The Spice Girls with Christmas Wrapping. Number 9, this is a great one, Believe by Josh Groban, of course, from Polar Express. Josh Groban went mainstream, was more of a kind of a opera singer, classically trained singer, and then went pop, went mainstream. This song really helped with that. Amazing song, Believe by Josh Groban. If you haven't watched Polar Express yet, you should. You'll hear this song on there. Great movie. Number 8, The Most Wonderful Day of the Year from Red-Nosed Reindeer. Number 7, Santa Claus is Coming to Town by Bruce Springsteen. Not my favorite, but okay. Number 6, Sleigh Ride by the Ronettes. Number 5, Michael Bublé. Everywhere it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. This dude is amazing. So this album, highly recommend this album. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas by Michael Bublé. Great singer. Even though he's Canadian, amazing singer. I would highly recommend that. Number 4, we have Harry Connick Jr., Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Harry Connick Jr., again, he's been on this list twice so far. Amazing Christmas album from back in the day. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, always a favorite with the kids. And, of course, a favorite with the adults. Harry Connick Jr., great singer, a crooner himself. Number 3, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus by Jackson 5. Michael Jackson, of course, was the little boy singing this one back way back in the day. I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. Always was interested about this song. Does that mean that Mommy is stepping out? Or was Daddy dressed up as Santa Claus? What, you know, there's a lot to this song. But either way, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. They have number 3 on the list with Jackson 5. That's a great one. Number 2, probably my least favorite Christmas song. And they have it at number 2. Of course they do. Last Christmas by Wham. And if you know anything about Wham, George Michael got his start with Wham and then went on to have a pretty impressive solo career. Last Christmas is number 2 on the list. And then number one song. And I would have to agree. This song is quite amazing. All I Want for Christmas Is You by one Mariah Carey. Mariah Carey with All I Want for Christmas Is You, tops the charts at number 1. That probably is the most played Christmas song, across the board. That gets played everywhere. I was in the mall the other day, heard it in the mall. I was in Walmart the other day, heard it in there. Hear it on Hallmark movies. You hear it everywhere. And right now you're hearing it on this show. Because it is an amazing song. She can't really sing it live anymore because her voice doesn't do what it used to. But man, this was pre-Nick Cannon. This was all of those things. Great song, All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey. And we'll just let that play. That's fine. As we think about other Christmas songs, I would have added, there's a number of songs I would have added. Dean Martin, I would have added some music from him. Of course, I would have gone the country route and added a lot of the music from Alabama, Amy Grant, Tennessee Christmas, Christmas in Dixie, all the Southern favorites. But I will have to say, this is a good one. This probably deserves to be number 1 on the list. All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey. And I would say, your list should add other things on it, not just whoever she's singing it to, but it is a great song. So we're just going to let this take us to break. Mariah Carey. This is like my old radio days. We're going to let it take us to break. We'll have traffic and weather on the other side. Not really, but as we look at that, hopefully you have some of these songs playing as you lead up to Christmas, whether that is on your phone or on your Alexa device or somewhere, somehow, you are celebrating Christmas and celebrating some of the great Christmas music that we get the pleasure of having. We'll be back in a sec.
York to go, I thought I'd take a ride. Soon Miss Fanny Bride was seated by my side. The horse was lean and lank, misfortune seemed his lot. We ran into a drifted bank, and there we got upset. Oh, jingle bells.
That's Alan Jackson, that's a good one. And we're back. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Look, that's what you get here. You get the first segment. You got hard-hitting news that you probably didn't even know it was going on in California with Planned Parenthood operating centers inside of schools, public schools. And then you got to look at some amazing Christmas music. You got to look at some of the amazing Christmas gifts over the years. And we're going to end with talking about Hope Resource Center and what 2019 has looked like. It's just been an amazing year. We've seen close to 2,000 patients in total, over 400 ultrasounds performed, over 70 baby showers provided. That's 70 pack and play, 70 car seats, 70 diaper bags. We're able to do that because of folks like you. And so as we end the year, as we end 2019 and we look forward to 2020, we would just ask that you continue to partner with us. Partner with us, with your prayers, with your gifts. You can do that at investinghope.com, with your time. If you want to volunteer, if you want to mentor, if you want to wrap gifts, if you want to decorate, we were at an event last night and somebody came up and said they own their own, catering business and how could they help with baby showers. There's so many ways for you to partner with us and help us love our neighbors and love our city better and love these moms and their babies better. And we would encourage you to do that. If you're thinking about, well, what does my gift get? And so if I give X amount of dollars, what does that mean? Well, $85 will provide 85 pregnancy tests. Pregnancy tests roughly are a dollar a piece. And so for every dollar you provide, you could provide a pregnancy test. $200 will provide one ultrasound. 86% of those that see an ultrasound choose life. $200 will take care of one ultrasound. $260 will take care of 8 sexual health screenings for these young women. And so we would encourage that. $125 would be one well woman exam, one annual exam for a female patient. $125, you could help take care of that. $2,000 will sponsor 1 month of Hispanic outreach. We have seen an amazing increase in our Hispanic numbers in terms of how we are serving that community here in the city of Knoxville. Help us continue to do that by sponsoring 1 month of Hispanic outreach at $2,000. You can sponsor a first-time mom. $750. Maybe you're listening to this and you're going, I was there. I was in those shoes at one point. I was a young woman pregnant, not knowing what to do, and somebody stepped in and helped me. Maybe this is your opportunity to help a young mom today. $750 will sponsor a first-time mom. $3,500 will sponsor 10 baby showers. Again, at those showers, they're going to receive brand new items, pack and plays, car seats, strollers, bathtubs, diaper bags, wipes, diapers, clothes, all the things that they're going to need for the first 6 months after baby arrives. $1,000 will sponsor one term of parenting class. This is parenting education for these moms, letting them know what to expect when throughout their pregnancy, what to expect in delivery, letting them know what to expect when baby arrives, how can we help them budget. All of those things we're going to be able to help them do. $1,000 will sponsor one term of parenting classes. There's so many ways for you to partner with us at Hope. Help us end this year strong. Help us finish out the year strong. Investinghope.com. You can simply click the donate button. And again, back to look over 2019, 713 pregnancy tests, 442 ultrasounds, 498 STD tests were provided, 114 well woman exams. And do you know what? That was 100% increase from 2018. We saw 100% increase in well woman exams in 2019. 86 Hispanic patients received medical and educational care, including one-on-one mentoring in their native language. That's a big deal. 58 new moms participated in Hope's 5-week parenting class program. 50 received weekly one-on-one mentoring as an extension of Hope's parenting class. 21 participated in small group Bible study. We're getting the gospel to these folks as well. And like I said, over 70 baby showers provided in 2019. It's been one of the greatest years we've ever seen at Hope Resource Center. And I just continue to be blown away at the partnership, at the support that we have. We are so grateful to do that. I'll let you know right now that we're going to continue this show, continue this radio show, this podcast in 2020. We love our partnership with Joy 620 for those that listen live. And then, of course, those that listen online to the podcast, wherever you find podcasts at Google Play, iTunes, TuneIn app, investinghope.com. We are certainly grateful that you listen. And as long as there are ears to hear, there's going to be a voice right here to share the good news of Jesus. Merry Christmas. I hope your 2019 is amazing, and I hope 2020 holds nothing but blessings for you and your family. We'll talk to you soon.
Tune.